What is this? Hour three? I'm going to do the math. Hour three.
Third hour.
Poof.
Three out of four.
Three out of four, baby. Three out of four. Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports on this Monday. Happy Monday to each and every one of you. Thanks for joining us as always. It is very much appreciated. Brock Purdy is a Cinderella story, Rami.
Yes, he is.
I want the movie.
There's no denying that.
I want the movie. I need the movie.
Who plays Brock Purdy?
Matt Damon. And I would love to witness all of this play out. Want the Super Bowl championship, Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant to Super Bowl champion. All of it is great.
When he took the job, we said if they win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy,
yes,
it's maybe the greatest quarterback story of our lifetime.
It'll go down as one of the best.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Him and Nick Foles.
One of the best all time. I don't think we can forget that the GOAT was picked in the sixth round, but I do think, you know, it'll go down as one of the best.
I don't know who you're talking about.
One of the best stories of all time for a quarterback.
Patrick Mahomes was picked number 10.
He was. And let's see if he gets to six. Seven. It's a tremendous story. He has not thrown up on himself. He has taken care of the football. He's done everything that you need him to do to continue to win games, especially in the playoffs. He has been a revelation for many people. He's done everything. He's done everything that you need him to do. And he's made, I don't know, a handful of very good plays in the past 2-3 weeks that has helped them get to the NFC Championship game.
I feel like there's a but coming.
Well, this is not going to be a but towards Brock Purdy. It's going to be my irritation towards the media. And this is what I was worried about, Rami. I was worried about, you know, the media, they can't have just a great story for what it is. They've got to continue to build it and build it and build it and build it and shove it down your throat every 5 seconds. I mentioned about, you know, the CBS shots during the Bills game, right? Mm-hmm. The Bills-Bengals game yesterday. Like, DeMar Hamlin's in the suite. Great story. Awesome. There's DeMar Hamlin. Okay, awesome. You can't really see him because the snow. But let's keep going to the shot over and over and over again because we want to talk about DeMar Hamlin throughout the game. Again, great story, but I don't need the shot of him in the suite 17 times during the game.
If that was DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
You know, so what is starting to irritate me, and it's not because Brock Purdy doesn't deserve credit. He does. I'm actually irritated because I feel like it's taking away from what else is happening with this football team. To me, like, the more we talk about Brock Purdy and the more that the national media makes him the story, I just feel like the defense is almost getting slighted. Like, yesterday after the game, I was legitimately bugged that Aaron Andrews is interviewing Brock Purdy after that game. Like, he's not the story of that game. He's a great story. He's a fantastic story. Make the movie. The story of that game was that defense. The story of that game was Fred Warner. The story of that game was D'Amico Ryans. Like, I understand it's the low-hanging fruit that the national media love to pull. But let's put some respect on the other dude's names. Like, they won that game yesterday not because of Brock Purdy. They won it because their defense balled out.
He's the bassist. he's the bassist.
Bassist in the band on Saturday night.
The band that we saw Saturday night, who was front and center for probably no good reason.
So here was Aaron Andrews with Brock after the game.
Man, we're just excited that we won. Everyone did their part. Playoff football is never easy, but we're moving on.
What does it mean to you to show up in Philly next week and have a chance at the NFC Championship?
I mean, that's what NFL football is all about, to go in a hostile environment like that. Like, we're excited. We're ready for it.
And Javier says, you know, why wait for the movie when you can enjoy the real-time experience? Again, this is a nuanced conversation somewhat. I'm not saying you can't enjoy it. I've been saying it. Embrace this. Enjoy it. Love it. The Niners are one game away from getting to the Super Bowl. It's a fantastic story. What I don't need is the national media to just pummel me with it over the head when there are other really good stories about this football team.
But doesn't this, I mean, it's the story for sure, Nick. You know what, of the last pick in the
draft.
It's
the high school quarterback. It's the, you know, the women want him, the men want to be him, the high school quarterback, the college quarterback. It's the person they always talk about. To me, it's just lazy.
But I was going to say, doesn't this ultimately go back to what I was talking about last hour in my rant about Josh Allen and how quarterbacks not named Josh Allen are treated, and we love, and when I say we, I'm just talking about the media in general, even though you and I don't necessarily go along with every narrative that's out there. So I'm using the generic we. We in the media love to put quarterbacks on these big, tall pedestals and throw in the fact that he's Mr. Irrelevant and he's a rookie and the third-string quarterback and the great story that it is. That's what the NFL is, man. That's what NFL media does. We lift quarterbacks way, way up when things are good, and we bury them 6 feet under when things are bad.
It's just, you know, it's unfair to Purdy. And look, maybe I might be in the minority. Maybe people aren't irritated by this. I get irritated by watching a game and saying, okay, Brock Purdy played well, but is he the guy that we should be underlining and talking about? Like, we understand. Like, he's doing his job. He managed the game well. He didn't turn the football over. Great. But how about giving some love to the other guys? Like, how about giving some post-game interview time to, like I said, Fred Warner? How about D'Amador Lenore, who comes up with the pick? How about talking to that guy after the game? Hey, you had a huge pick in the game, man, that kind of swung the momentum. How about interviewing people that made impact plays in that game? Like, Brock Purdy, and look, I'll give credit to Purdy. You mentioned this earlier in the show. Not only on the field has he been tremendously poised and looked the part, but with the media, he's been great. And that's not always easy. Like, this dude was thrown into a very difficult situation. He's played as good as he can play. He's got them one win away from the Super Bowl. And Aaron Andrews is shoving a microphone in his face on Fox nationally, where everybody's watching, and he right away is talking about we and talking about the team and talking about the defense. Like, that dude gets it.
For sure.
Brock Purdy gets it. I just wish that, like, let's talk about the defense. Let's talk about Kyle Shanahan, who's done a very good job. Does he mess up? Yes. Is he free of criticism? No. Should people just say, oh, Kyle has it all figured out? Absolutely not. The end of the first half yesterday was a joke. But big picture, Shanahan's taken this third-string quarterback and is one game away from the Super Bowl. If Shanahan doesn't want to talk, how about giving DeMeco Ryans some shine? This dude's defense has been awesome all year long.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think Shanahan is looking for spotlight. DeMeco Ryans, he gets plenty of run, and especially now that the coaching carousel has started to turn. I see his name popping up a lot on my Twitter timeline and various websites I go to get my football information. As far as the players go, I get the sense, Nick, that not only are they okay with the way that the whole Brock Purdy thing is being talked about, I think they like it from the standpoint that they seem to get a kick out of it. And especially George Kittle,
right? Like,
you put a microphone in front of George Kittle, and he wants to talk to you about Brock Purdy.
Kittle just wants to cut a WWE promo every day of his life.
Yes.
He gets up in the morning waiting to just do that.
When it comes to the guys on defense, starting with Nick Bosa, I don't get the sense that they're really out here looking for attention or praise or all the credit. They know what they're doing. They
I would agree with that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, look, it's – and this goes to...
It's not the Seahawks.
This is just
they
something.
They were annoyed with Russell Wilson and all the love and attention that he got. This ain't that.
Well, and I think that goes to what I just said about Brock. I think it's because Brock has handled this well. I'm not so sold. I have some reasons why I'm not so sold. And then there's just, you know, by what we've heard from those people that were in Seattle at the time, I don't think Russell necessarily handled that situation as well as he could have. Brock has been nails. Brock's been nails on and off the field. Again, you can't ask more of this dude. And that's why I'm all about it. I want this to happen. I want to see this dude get it done. I love, like, the family reaction in the crowd when he makes it. It is a great story. I guess it's just my issue with national media, and it's been my issue for a long time, of, like, just anointing people immediately. I just don't feel, as a sports fan, that we have time to breathe. It's like, as soon as something happens, this is the greatest thing of all time. This is the greatest player of all time. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. Like Bronny James. If I mentioned Bronny James, people would be like, oh, you know, LeBron's son, top player in high school. I don't know what he is now, but I know a few months ago he was like the 40th ranked player in his high school class.
Yeah.
And people are talking about him like he is the best high school player ever because his name is Bronny James. it's the national media that just wants to pound certain points into the ground. It's the reason why you lost your mind about the Lakers a few weeks ago. It's why Chuck, you know, talks about it on TNT. And he's always saying, like, why are we talking about the Lakers? Like,
that's terrible.
Yeah, they can't get out of their own way. It's the narratives that are just spun. And I just, let's not get too far ahead. Let's embrace and enjoy the moment and say this dude is balling out as well as he can in this situation, which is incredibly difficult. He deserves all the credit in the world. But there are people mentioning Montana and Brady and, like, take a breath.
He's won more games to start his career than any of those guys.
Like, if he gets there, awesome. If he gets there, incredible.
I say start carving the bronze bust right now. Fit that man for a gold jacket. Put the statue in front of the state outside of Levi's Stadium.
Let's not get it twisted. I started the show talking about the defense.
Why do you hate him?
We started talking about the defense. We started talking about
the bottom of this.
We started talking about Brock Purdy on the field. And my point today is we should appreciate this team.
But you hate Brock Purdy.
No. I do not.
Rami asking the hard questions over here.
I do not hate Brock Purdy. I think we need to give love to this football team instead of making it sound like Mr. Irrelevant is the reason why they're making this march. There are a lot of reasons why. Run CMC is a gigantic reason why. The defense, D'Amico Ryans, like Shanahan. And I just feel like as this has gone on, it's getting worse and worse where it's Purdy this, Purdy that, Purdy. It's great story, but this team is a great story. Like, this team is lifting up the quarterback. It's not the quarterback lifting up the team. He's doing well.
Right.
But the team is lifting up his play. If you put him on any other playoff team, I don't think we're talking about Brock Purdy in a championship game. So give love to the guys that deserve it as well. And I give credit to Purdy because he has done that. This is not a Brock Purdy thing. It's more the media.
It's not a play thing.
It's more the media. It's Tony Romo. It's just the nonstop stuff. You put it on ESPN today. I guarantee you they're talking about Purdy this and Purdy that.
Who does play him in the movie, though?
Matt Damon. I gave you my answer.
I'm bringing up the fact that he looks exactly like 1982 Michael J. Fox. So
there's that. I don't think that's going to work, though.
No.
I want Timothy Chalamet.
Too pretty.
I just thought Simone, that would be on. A nice top.
Too pretty.
Yeah, want, no, we're talking about
Timothy Chalamet to play every
like
role.
Let's stunned everyone.
Hold on. Is Timothy Chalamet the guy that
the
is
Dune
on that?
Kid.
Is he on the that new commercial of
yes,
Apple Plus?
For
yes,
Apple Plus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kelly and I were watching that yesterday, and we both looked at each other and said, "Are we supposed to know who that is?"
Just to put on a little weight and be all right.
I had no
idea.
He is
the heart, not to mansplain this again, but he's the heartthrob of like 16 to 17-year-olds on TikTok right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm very happy I don't know who he is now.
You know Kevin Connolly, who played Eric on Entourage?
I do.
TV show? He looks like Brock Purdy.
Ooh, yeah.
But he's 48 years old and only 5'5".
They don't look 48. And there's nothing wrong with being short. You're not a tall guy.
But 5'5".
By the way, I heard that Dave was saying I was 5'2".
No, David.
Which I responded to, Carmichael Davis, 300 pounds. If I'm 5'2", Dave's 3 bills.
That's terrible.
Wow. I'll stay out of that one.
413. 413 on a Monday.
BSing.
Capital Casino, conveniently located on 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento. I've been warning people. Are people starting to finally agree with me? The Kings Malik Monk issue.
Oh.
In 90 seconds.
Cattles.
And Rami.
Sactown Sports. The only place you'll find Keegan Murray is Sactown Sports.
Out to Keegan Murray, straight away for three, and Keegan knocks down the triple.
Hey, Sacramento, it's Keegan Murray, and you're listening to the home of Sacramento Kings, Sactown Sports.
Your local sports leader.
Live and local in the afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles.
And Rami.
On Sactown Sports.
Upset with you.
With me?
Yeah.
What'd I do?
Because you didn't want to back me with the Dave thing. You ran.
Oh.
You ran out like you ran out Saturday night after 2 hours.
why would I get
your girlfriend wanted to stay hanging out and you were like, let's go. You ran right out.
Yeah, I did. Instead of, you know, hey, thanks. Thanks for coming out. That was fun. Why didn't you hang out longer? You know?
We're having a good time. Why would you stop a good time? Anyway, let's get back to the Dave thing.
Because it was enough.
Just to have my back. So this is the peek into Rami's brain before we get to the Kings and Malik Monk. So three people out of the four on Saturday night were hanging out thinking we should continue to hang out.
Yes.
Rami wanted to go home. So therefore, was right.
I didn't get a lot of pushback from my girlfriend when I brought up the idea of going home. She just asked later. She said, do you think Nick and Kelly were upset that we didn't hang out?
We weren't upset.
Okay.
Upset would be a little dramatic.
Annoyed?
Disappointed?
Disappointed?
Yeah, disappointed. Okay. I would say disappointed in you is fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
That's worse.
Somehow I'm okay with it, though. Somehow his disappointment doesn't affect me. It's weird.
So now, if Kelly and I go hang out at your place.
Yes. By the way, she said we should invite Nick and Kelly.
Which is another thing. Yes. I drove 45 minutes to go hang out with you on Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
After I drive an hour and a half every day to work.
Hold on. You said we are going to this place if anybody would like to join us. So you wouldn't go out there to hang out with me. You went out there.
I don't know if I would have gone if it wasn't for you and Emily.
All right.
I sent the text out there. Vlad was like, I'm in Auburn. JJ didn't even respond.
Where's Auburn? Georgia?
North.
No, it's north.
That was nice, though.
Auburn's also in Alabama.
No. He's not a college football guy.
No, I'm not. Or a geography guy.
So here's my question, though, before we get to the case.
Yes.
So if I now go to your place.
Yes.
Or if you ask us out, you actually invite us out. I'm glad that Emily said that you should probably actually invite us instead of open invite, which is just, I'm never going to invite you. And then if you ask me why I don't invite you,
I feel like an open invite is the nicest thing you can do.
No, because again, I'm not going to just roll over to your house a Tuesday night. So now if I stay longer than 2 hours.
Yes.
I feel like I'm overstaying.
No.
My welcome.
Yes.
Because you have clearly stated that 2 hours is your window.
No, you can stay as long as
you
want.
So if I hang out with you and it's like 2.5 hours, I'm like, honey, we got to go, Kel. We got to go.
Here was when she said we should invite, and I said, yeah, we should. But I don't have my apartment is not big. Like, it's kind of a small place. Not a lot of places for people to be seated when you're entertaining, you know?
A lot of places around you, though.
So I said, let's wait until the weather is nice enough that we can hang out on the rooftop, go down by the pool.
You know how I read that?
How's that?
Let's wait as long as we can before I actually invite
them. No!
The rooftop is nice, I will say.
Yeah, he stayed at my place a couple times watching the dog. Kyle's my dog sitter when I'm out of town. A little peek behind the curtain.
I hired this man. Gave him a job.
If you want a dog sit.
I furthered his career.
Wow.
If you want a dog sit, you can have access
and
to the
Kyle
rooftop.
Kyle Ledbetter's on the rooftop with his feet up and a cigar in his mouth watching Oz.
Go watch Oz. You can have the pool, the gym, the rooftop, the whole nine.
I will also, yeah.
What a nice place.
I'm also going to push
brag.
Back on the.
Look at me, Louie.
Humble brag.
Also going to push back on not having a lot of space. It's enough to host four people.
Is it?
You can host four people in your living room space.
All I have is a couch.
It's a nice couch.
It's a nice couch.
But I'm also a 21-year-old, so my standards are different.
Nick didn't want me to sit next to him for a good shot for the show, so that we could have a good camera shot for the show. He's going to come and sit next to my couch.
That's
on
not
me for
there.
Four
that's
hours?
Not the reason. I don't want to look this way. Like, it's like I'm looking like away from the camera. It's weird. I like looking directly at you.
Fair.
I like peering into your eyes, Rami, when we do radio.
Okay.
Let's get to the Kings. All guests come to you, by the way, from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Okay. So I have been talking about Malik Monk for a couple of weeks. And I have been warning people that Monk has completely fallen off a cliff. And he had a good week going back several weeks ago. And I think people, including me, were like, thank God he got through it. It was a bad streak. No, he has fallen right back into the abyss.
Yeah.
And this is not good on many levels. On Saturday, he scored 9 points. He shot 3 of 10. I was surprised when we had Frankie on the show Friday when I asked him about Monk and is he concerned? And Frankie was like, nah, you know, shooter, shoot, and he'll shoot out of it. We're going on, 2 months. 2 months where Monk is shooting under 30% from three. He's shooting about 28% the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a bad streak. This is not a small sample size. This is 2 months of terrible shooting from distance from the dude coming off of your bench that you rely on to shoot from distance. You need Malik Monk. You want Malik Monk. And so when you look at this, Rami, the effect that it's having, Malik was the only guy off the bench on Saturday night that played more than 12 minutes. And what that's doing is it's taxing the starters. You are asking so much from this. Remember we had the conversation about Domas early in the year? Like, this guy can't keep playing 39, 40 minutes a night?
Yeah.
It's getting to be the whole team. This is becoming a problem. Now, whether it's Coach Brown not trusting his guys enough.
Look at Saturday, 38, 38, 41, 38, 31. That's their starting rotation. That's the minutes for their starting lineup on Saturday.
When you are not going to your bench, and we talked about it like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago about, hey, man, it's time to set a rotation. Trey Lyles again, in and out Saturday night. Is he your guy or not? You've got to pick eight or nine guys and roll with it, Coach. Like, Coach Brown has done a terrific job, okay? But at a certain point, you cannot keep asking your starters to score 95% of the points and play 37 to 40 minutes a night.
Yeah.
At some point, you've got to be like, we can't do it. We can't do it. HB has played a ton of minutes the last month and a half or so. He's playing tons of minutes.
Can't do it.
And at a point where you just got to say, like, how much can you keep asking of these guys? And they have played great. They're awesome story. Fox has had a great year. Domas, we've talked about it. You know, MVP conversation. Both guys deserve to be all-stars. HB has been incredible since his slow start for the first week or two. But I don't want to see these guys run out of gas, man. At some point, you got to trust somebody more than Monk. The only dude that you trust is Monk, and he's been awful. He's been awful.
So when you talk about shortening the bench and like establishing rotations, are you suggesting that Monk maybe not be part of those rotations?
No, Monk has to be.
But okay. I was just going to say, Nick, because I've been not pushing back, but just like a little more patient with Malik Monk than you have been when you've brought this up the last couple weeks. Keep going, I'm not too worried. I think he'll be fine. I'm starting to get worried now, and the question just popped into my head. It's funny Kyle asks you that. This just popped into my head right now when you're talking about Mike Brown and not settling on a rotation. Other guys off the bench have had short leashes, especially at the center position.
Yeah.
Okpala was in and out of there. Rashawn Holmes was in and out of there. Trey Lyles was in and out of there.
Terrence Davis.
We saw Davion Mitchell's minutes cut.
Davis was a hero for two weeks. Yep. He can't get run in a blowout.
At what point does Mike Brown even afford to, when you start looking at what's going on with the bench, look at Malik Monk and go, maybe we reduce his role a little bit. You know what I mean?
I don't think you can. You've got to hope that he shoots himself out of it. Honestly. Like, because you just don't. Davion Mitchell is giving you nothing offensively.
I'm just going to throw.
Nothing. Defensively. He's giving you 0.0 offensively.
I'm just going to throw something at the wall. You tell me. This is not me saying they should do this. This is just me throwing something at the wall. You tell me if this is crazy. Because they have no scoring from their second unit right now. Put Kevin Huerter on the bench for Malik Monk. Reduce how much you're asking of Monk. You know, maybe make him ask. And I'm not saying permanently, because he's still been a playmaker and a creator for other guys when he hasn't been able to find his own shot. Ask him to do a little bit more of that till he gets his swagger back, and then go back to the way things are. That gives you a little scoring off the bench and maybe take some of the pressure off Malik Monk to be a scorer for
you. I wonder if there'd be some concern about the Fox-Monk show.
The chemistry.
Yep.
Like those two guys have great chemistry, but I wonder if it'd be too much of them too.
They get too wrapped up in that.
Would it ice Keegan out of the offense? Because we've seen his shooting rate.
And would
go
you be
up.
Going away from Domas?
Yeah.
Because Fox and Monk have the two-man game, and they're, you know, Kentucky days, they're feeling it, and then Domas doesn't touch the ball for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. The other thing I would say about Keegan, since you brought him up, Kyle, is when you look at all the minutes, man, the rookie wall is real. And when you get to game 55-60, is Keegan's legs going to be shot? Because he's playing 35 minutes. Because you ain't got no backup wing that can do much, that you trust. HB and Keegan are putting up a lot of minutes. The whole starting five is. At some point, something's got to change. Monty's got to go out there and make an addition or two, or Coach Brown has to stick with these guys even if they're not playing great. He's got to stick with it and say, bigger picture, I can't let my guys be playing 40 minutes a night. Just can't do it. Coming up, the Cowboys are dumb.
Can't do it.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports. Your afternoon home for Kings talk and more.
This is Cattles and Rami
on Sacktown Sports.
So Deuce and Moe's first show was today.
Yes, sir.
And I was watching the beginning of the show, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sacktown Sports, Monday through Friday, Deuce and Moe.
Did you watch the end of the show?
Yeah. I was a
really handsome guy in the studio.
Deuce? Yeah, good looking dude. So I was watching the beginning of the show, and Deuce was so excited that he did the entire segment standing. And I was wondering, like, is that what I should do? Because people get on me for being short all the time.
That, I don't get that.
He was just doing the whole thing standing.
Yeah.
Pat McAfee does that. I mean, it's not that weird.
He was very excited.
Do you ever want to be standing when you could be sitting?
I will tell you, I've been having trouble to sleep at night because I'm all tight in the hips and the lower back. This is a problem I had, back surgery when I was like 22.
Yeah.
Not great.
Yeah.
And I sit a lot during the day because I work at home and I'm in the living room and I'm, you know what I mean? And I come in here and I'm sitting all the time. So I was wondering, like, should I do some of the show standing? Does this make you feel uncomfortable, me standing right now?
No.
Does it make the YouTube people feel uncomfortable?
You're in power stance. I'll say that much.
Power stance?
Yeah, you got your palm. Yeah, exactly. That's what that is.
You can't just stand?
That's what that is.
You can't just stand up? Does it have to be that posture?
No, because the microphone, I don't think the microphone, like, it's not going to reach up to my grill if I stand.
I think the best way I'd describe it is principal's office vibes right now.
Yes. Yeah, it's Javier the A-frame.
Javier says he feels threatened.
Yeah.
A little too forward. Am I a little too forward?
I think you have to get the mic.
Like coming out.
That's the posture. Sharp.
That's the posture the teacher takes on your desk when they caught you passing a note. You know what I mean? That's the posture you take. Does your back feel better when you stand?
Well, I need to loosen it up. You know,
like no, that's the issue. Loosened it up.
What
if you hit the dance floor on Saturday night instead of being in the woods?
That might have locked it up. I would have been on the ground. Ah!
For those of you born after 1995, you used to pass notes in classrooms.
Nice.
Now you just text on your phone.
Now?
Yeah,
you're allowed to text while you're in class.
I mean, no,
I don't think
but
they
you're not allowed.
It?
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's really easy to not do that.
No wonder your generation is the way I
am. Hey, I pass notes. I'm still on the other side of the fence.
There you go.
All right, so some of the reaction about the
standing?
About the Kings, about the Kings bench issue with, you know, Malik Monk. Bradley Schmitz has been worried about it for weeks, talking about Monk being a primary ball handler. And that's one of the issues that we've discussed, and we're going to get to the Cowboys being dumb in a minute. But one of the issues we've talked about is, you know, Monk being the primary ball handler and what that does to Davion. And as I put in the chat, youtube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140, don't forget to like us. The more likes means the more eyeballs we build the community. That's how this works. So just 1 second to give us the thumbs up means an awful lot to all of us. But, you know, when you've got Monk as the primary ball handler, because I think they want him to be the creator, that takes the ball out of Davion's hands. And that makes Davion a glorified spot-up shooter for a lot of minutes. Not his strength. And I know we talked about at the end of last year about how he was going to work on the shot. And he understood that he was going to have to be a spot-up shooter more with Fox and Monk having the basketball a lot in their hands. I don't know if Davion anticipated being off the ball as much when Fox is not in the game.
Do you think there's more to squeeze out of Davion offensively than what they're getting in the role he's currently in?
I think Davion is better offensively when he has the basketball in his hands, when he can create a little bit, when he can get to the basket a little bit.
Yeah.
Hovering around the three-point line is not really his go-to. And so, you know, when Fox was out last year, he gave this team more offensively, much more. He didn't shoot great, but he still gave them more offensively. Right now, I don't think it's a stretch to say Davion's pretty much been an offensive zero for this team.
Yeah. No, he's like a he's a defensive specialist.
Yeah, like two or three games he's popped up. You know, he hit the three threes in a row a few games ago. That was nice to see. He had the game in Charlotte when Fox went out.
Yep.
When they were down big in halftime, and he scored 20-plus that night. Other than that, I mean, when I can sit there and tell you the good games he's had, and we're like 50 games deep.
He tells you how few
there's like
games
three
he's
of
had.
Them.
Yeah.
That means it's not enough. And so it's very difficult because you want to utilize Monk because he's supposed to be that offense off the bench, and he is a good playmaker for the most part. But when you do that, you go away from what Davion does well offensively. So, you know, you're kind of butting your nose to spite your face with how you're handling the bench. So it'll be interesting to see. All right, let's get
you
to
you better bring it.
Get to the Cowboys. Boy, they're a dumb football team. And I'm not saying personally. I'm not saying they're dumb people. I'm saying football IQ.
I mean, you're calling Mike McCarthy dumb.
Mike McCarthy has...
Mike McCarthy, that's fair, though.
An incredibly low IQ when it comes to football.
He looks like he's driving a tractor onto the field.
Dak's picks. I mean, both interceptions awful. Just can't make those mistakes. Cannot make those mistakes, especially in those kinds of games. Mike McCarthy, third and five, okay? You're on the San Francisco 40. Third and five. You take a deep shot downfield, incomplete. Fourth and five, you take a delay game and you punt from the San Francisco 45-yard line. That's awful coaching.
That was a mess.
Awful coaching. Absolutely awful coaching.
Yeah. And that's stuff that...
If you're at the 40, man, you got to say, okay, this kind of game, we're going on third down and fourth down.
Or don't take that deep shot on third down. Just call a safer play to get you those 5 yards.
Or get you closer. So if you're looking at like a fourth and one or a fourth, you could even run the football on third down if you're
going
to go on fourth
down. If you're saying we're in four down territory.
Taking a shot and then punting after a delay game. Like getting the delay of game pretty much intentionally to send you 5 yards back. I would have gone for it on fourth and five.
And then what was that?
Like, what's the difference between? Like,
what was that call in the last play of the game? Was Zeke lined up at
holy
center?
Crap.
Oh my god!
No offensive line. Like
poor,
what?
Poor Zeke, man.
And you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy about that?
What's that?
They showed it. The 49ers are like
they call a timeout.
They're like, whoa, yeah. Timeout. We didn't see this on tape. They make the adjustments they need to make, and Mike McCarthy still thinks that garbage is going to work.
And for people saying, oh, Kellen Moore is the offensive coordinator, look, head coach has the final
call,
veto folks,
power,
okay?
Dude.
Mike McCarthy says, all right, this is the last play we're going to run, and then, you know, the timeout is called. You go back out there with that formation. It's then up to McCarthy saying, we might want to get rid of that idea.
And I don't know what the fascination is with Kellen Moore.
That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
As an offensive coordinator. I mean, he was... Jerry Jones told Mike McCarthy, you're taking Kellen Moore as your offensive coordinator when you get this job. I don't know what it is with Kellen Moore in Dallas. I know who he has pictures of. Their offense, year in and year out, should be better than it looks. And then you have dumbass plays.
Poor Zeke was led to the slaughter.
Good Lord,
it's
man.
Also probably going to be Zeke's last play as a Cowboy because they have an out on his contract after this year.
Sacrificial lamb.
What
go
a way
out there,
to go.
Zeke. Snap it and get trucked.
The part we're also skipping is, like, besides Moore and McCarthy, why is that even in the playbook in the first place? Why? What are we doing
it
there?
It reminds me of, you remember the Colts-Patriots a long time ago when they had a special teams play?
Yeah.
And they just had the dude that was snapping it to the punter. The punter was under center.
I think it was Pat
McAfee
sitting
there. And
the
Patriots had, like, three or four, like, guys at the defensive line going, they're not going to snap this, are they? And they snapped it.
They just mauled him.
But they weren't supposed to snap it. On
that
play,
what happened?
Yes. On that play, they were trying to get some kind of to get them jumping off sides, get them to waste the timeout, and there was a miscommunication. They snapped it. Last night, they were supposed to snap that football.
How does no – like, you practiced that all week. At no point
it's
was
bad,
Zeke
man.
Like, hey, coach, I'm not a center. At no point. At no point did somebody speak up and say maybe a bad
and
idea.
And you take him out of the play for all intents and purposes. I know you can throw
he can
him a lateral,
pitch, yeah.
But he's not a speedster. Right, like so.
Made no sense.
Absolute
whatsoever.
Mess. You got Dalton Schultz not going out of bounds, moving forward, so he stops the clock. I mean, just
also doesn't know what a toe drag is.
Don't
on the play
tell
right
me,
before that.
Don't tell me Mike McCarthy's a good coach. Do not. I've seen that dude too many times do what he did last night to say he's a good coach.
Can I say
he won a Super Bowl off of Aaron Rodgers.
Can I say Mike McCarthy was a good coach?
No.
He was a good
not
coach.
A good coach.
He was. Aaron Rodgers, if not for Mike McCarthy.
You know what they say about the star, right?
What's that?
It's not a logo. It's a rating. Thank you, Rami. God.
I got it.
No one? All right. That's fine.
I was letting it absorb.
Don't hit me with the crickets. No, my first day.
I got you.
Has a murder mystery been solved? That and more next.
Cattles and Rami.
Sactown Sports.
Live and local in the afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles
and Rami
on Sactown Sports.
.445 on a Monday. Time check brought to you by Coastside Medical Clinic.
I really have to stop myself from saying vote Kings every time you do that. Because I got so used to doing it.
Yeah. Conditioning. Me too.
Just happens. Just throws it out there. Rami, did you watch The Tiger King?
Yeah. Everybody did. We had nothing better to do. We were all locked in our houses.
I know. Yeah. Remember, all those were the days.
Back at it and I'm like, what? Why? Why did I watch that? Why would I watch that? I wouldn't watch that now.
I would.
You would?
Yeah, I would still watch it.
I was all in.
Now, if that came out now.
It's entertaining.
I got better things to do.
Didn't they make a season two? I never tapped into that.
Yeah, never watched it.
I never did it.
By then, I was like, nah.
I'm good.
I don't care. I'm
trying to remember if I watched season two. If I did, it wasn't memorable, obviously. So one of the stories in The Tiger King was about Carol Baskin and her ex-husband, Don Lewis, that he went missing.
Well, it was about Joe Exotic. She was kind of a... I thought you said... Never mind.
I didn't say the whole thing
was about... I thought you said it was about... Okay, my bad.
No.
Oh, yeah. Give me your booze. I am nourished by your hatred.
One of the stories within The Tiger King was Carol Baskin's ex-husband, Don Lewis, going missing. And some people believing that Baskin was at fault for the missing person. And some even saying that she killed him. She killed him and maybe she fed him to the tigers, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is from the New York Post. Baskin declared that her missing ex-husband was found alive in Costa Rica. But the discovery is just now going viral over a year later. During a resurfaced November 2021 interview with ITV's This Morning talk show, Baskin alleged that her ex, who was declared legally dead in 2002 after disappearing a few years before, was actually alive and well. However, not everyone is buying it. Baskin herself told the Post she was unaware of the alleged revelation until the sequel series was broadcast in November of 2021. Quote, I was not aware of it until TK2. Is that what she's calling it, TK2?
I guess.
That's what the kids
shortened
say.
It, yes.
Yeah.
Cool cats and kittens. Is that what it is? All you cool cats?
Yes, yeah. Great pull.
TK2 aired. As much confusion online debate ignited on social media, animal rights activists alleged in the resurfaced ITV footage that the Department of Homeland Security has been in touch with her former spouse. Lewis disappeared in 1997 at the age of 59. He would be 84 if he was still alive today. The Post has reached out to Baskin, the Department of Homeland Security, and the FBI for further comment. Meanwhile, Florida's Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office partially shot down Baskin's newly viral remarks when reached for confirmation. Quote, we have not received any communication from our federal partners that confirms the location of Mr. Don Lewis. The investigation in Don Lewis's disappearance remains a priority for the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, as do all missing person cases.
So he is alive or he's not alive?
Baskin says that he's alive.
Okay.
But nobody has been able to confirm it.
Keep it.
So nobody is confirming her claim.
Right.
Nobody credible is confirming her claim that this guy is still alive
in Costa Rica. She declared that he was alive in Costa Rica.
And said that Homeland Security informed her of this?
Yes.
But Homeland Security's not speaking on it?
Yes.
Okay.
And Costa Rica's not speaking on this?
Can't we cite, like, the Freedom of Information Act or something to get to the bottom of this?
Do we really need to go that far on this?
I want to
know.
The
fact that we've got
wild.
The FBI and Homeland Security and all of these people because of Carol Baskin.
Right, wasting resources. That's what that is.
I mean,
is.
I don't know if I want to say
like
that.
This seems like a cash grab.
Because, I mean, that Don Lewis might have been murdered. For the Don Lewis family, I don't want to say they're wasting resources, but...
Who was it that said this remains a priority after 25 years?
That would be the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office.
Yeah, I feel like after 25 years, they kind of notch it a little lower on the priorities list.
Yeah, that higher priority.
If you haven't gotten to it yet.
I'm not going to sit here and say that she murdered him and fed him to tigers, because that would be irresponsible of me to say into a microphone.
Thank you, Rami. Thank you for doing that.
But I'm not going to take it on Carol Baskin's word without any confirmation or backing up that this man was found alive in Costa Rica.
I mean, let's just say if she did murder him and feed him to lions.
As hypothetically speaking.
Would she just tell the New York Post, nah, you know what? I kind of murdered him and fed him to lions.
What's the statute of limitations?
Isn't it sad?
I feel like she's still being cat food. I don't think there's any statute of limitations for murder. Okay.
I think there is. Let me look it up.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah. No, you can't just – hold on. You can't murder somebody and then 20 years later be like, oh, well.
I did it.
Murdered him two decades ago.
That's true.
That's not how this works.
That's why I'm not a lawyer.
You got like cold cases where people get dragged in and they get put away for life.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
It's murder, man. Now, you can't have double jeopardy if you get somebody for one thing.
Mm-hmm. OJ did write a book that said, if I did it. I mean, he basically told you he did it.
Mm.
Still walking around.
So I can confirm that in Florida, which is where Carol Baskin lives, there is no statute of limitation on murder. She can't really admit to it.
Interesting, it's state by state, if that's the case.
Can we stop this? We sound incredibly dumb right now.
Right now?
You can't kill somebody and then like 15 years later be like, yeah, I did it. You can't do anything about it.
What are you going to do about it? I killed him.
Again, Carol Baskin would be like, yeah, I fed him to the lions.
Again, I cite the O.J. Simpson evidence of the man wrote a book called I Did It.
If I Did It, where he describes how he would have done it if he did it.
Yeah, but he was tried. He can't be tried for the same crime.
I understand.
My goodness. This is going to be a fun segue. So Cobra Kai's coming back.
Also Netflix.
Was it season six?
Six, yes.
You're not
bailing, are you? You can't bail at this point.
No, I'm Tupac committed. I'm still watching The Blacklist on NBC. It's going like season 10.
They're not still making The
Blacklist.
Yes, they are. No, they're not.
Yes. Red Reddington is still around.
Red Reddington?
Yes.
That's a real character's name?
James Spader.
That's the laziest name in the history of fiction.
Great show, but it's outworn its welcome.
You're like me then. You can't bail once you're invested in the show.
Well, dude, the last season of Cobra Kai was so outrageous.
It was great.
And I know that was like the point of it.
No,
but
it was so good.
No.
It was so good.
No.
I love that.
We're like borderline murdering people, and like
that's the best part about it.
No,
we've gotten to the point.
What is it with you?
Where,
Rami? We should introduce you to Yellowstone. It's basically like one of Kevin Costner's children commits a murder every episode.
I thought about checking out Yellowstone. Recommend
I've heard
or
good
no?
Things. I've heard good things.
I walked. Here's how I felt. Okay, yes. And I'm not going to ruin it for anybody. Okay. Over under, by the way, says Don Lewis is dead. Carol Baskin killed him.
Over under
that's
for
Don.
It?
Don. Not us.
I walked away from Cobra Kai last season saying they tied up every loose end.
Mm-mm.
All the stories are done.
No, sir.
We can move on with our lives.
No.
I enjoyed the show. I'm a big believer that like by year five, 99% of the shows need to call it quits by year five.
I love.
Go look back at the long history of television. Most shows, when they get to like year six, off a cliff.
I love.
You got 4 or 5 good years, and you get about 100 episodes of really good TV. And once you go beyond that, you're playing with fire.
A lot of the time, you're right. But I love that in Cobra Kai.
New Amsterdam. You know New Amsterdam?
No.
NBC show?
Never watched it.
So Kelly and I watch it. 5 seasons. Done.
What is it about?
13 episodes in the 5th season. Over. Perfect. Get it done.
So they're done. They're not making any more new episodes.
They chopped it off.
Maybe I'll check that out.
They said enough is enough.
But this seems like a cash grab.
When it comes to Cobra Kai, I just love
15,
that there are
18.
Like grown men who are established. Like they have careers, they have businesses,
yes.
They have families.
And they have karate tournaments to get to, damn it.
They have whole lives going.
Yes.
They have whole lives going.
Yes.
And they're willing to put it all on the line. They're going to risk it all. They're going to commit major crimes.
Their life.
They're going to risk jail time. They're going to risk their own lives. They might even murder. I don't want to spoil anything, but they might even attempt to murder somebody and put their own families at risk. All in the interest of dominating the teenage karate dojo game. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're loco, man.
That's incredible.
It is commitment.
That's amazing. That's what I love. It's so absurd. It's what I love about the show. Every time I start to like fall into the trap that you were, I'm like, what are they doing?
I've seen enough.
I go, this is great.
Seen enough.
This is terrific.
I'll watch season six because, again, I'm too committed at this point. But I would not lose any sleep if they said that was the final season.
Going somewhere over to Asia for some tournament?
Yeah, they're
going to
do a world tournament.
I love it.
As someone who's never seen this show before, you're really selling it, Rami.
Kyle, check
you're
it out.
Really selling this show.
I can't wait for another love story between teenagers. Can't wait.
Now, that part of it, I get bored.
Brutal.
Yeah.
It's all brutal.
All the side stories and love
stories. Ralph Macchio's toupee.
You think it's not real?
Oh, that's 100% a toupe.
I don't know.
That is a
Ralph
hairpiece.
Ralph Macchio. He's aged well. Good
that
for
is
him.
A, that is a hairpiece on
not going to hate.
A unit.
Good for Danny.
Yeah, I think it's a hairpiece.
Good for Daniel LaRusso.
You're a Daniel LaRusso guy?
Yeah, what are you, a Cobra Kai guy?
No.
Okay.
Johnny Lawrence guy. Johnny Lawrence is way better. He's the best character on that show.
He is the best character on the show.
It's not even a close second.
Something they did with that show, and like,
Ralph Macchio's irritating.
In a real way, something that they did with that show was they took, like, the 80s bully, because he was, like, the prototype for every 80s bully that was in every movie back then. And they, like, made him human and, like, gave you the backstory and why he was such a bad person. And, like, they humanized him and actually made you sympathize and empathize with the dude and how he became the person that he is. And after that, it just got silly and absurd. But I thought that was, like, a real, really good writing.
I think
a really
this
good
is,
trick that they pulled in the first season.
I think this is the perfect ending to this segment.
Mm-hmm.
BW, YouTube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. Dude, .. In all in caps, of America, there is no statute of limitations on murder.
Yep. BW, I hear you and I see you. Thank you so much.
I did say that earlier. I said there was a chance that there might not be a statute of limitation on murder.
Thank goodness.
Question, should there be?
There's no statute
God bless the USA.
There's no statute of limitation. As I've said, I've stayed consistent on this from the beginning. Look, Kyle was like, in Florida... I could just tell you in Florida, there is not a statute of limitations on murdering a human being.
If there was a state where I wouldn't be surprised.
It'd be Florida.
That there was a statute of limitations on murder, it would and feeding the murder victim to tigers, it would be Florida.
Yeah, I said 100%. Lions earlier. It's tigers. Yeah.
I'm also throwing Oregon in the hat. Get in there, Oregon.
Really? Is Oregon wacky like that?
Yeah.
You ever seen Fargo, man? Fargo
Oregon's,
teaches me the Dakota's got some,
catching
stuff
stray.
Going on.
Yeah. No, I was born there. I can say it.
Oh, okay.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
How long were you there for?
Like 6, 7.
Yeah, no.
She's an Oregonian.
Doesn't count. Doesn't count at all. All right. Up next, Niners get defensive while Malik Monk has been offensive.
Cattles.
And Rami.
Sacktown Sports.